You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Multidimensional Health with Dr. Tony provides a truly holistic overview of health and vital well-being that will assist you in living your best life. Each week, she brings you fascinating topics about the Law of Attraction, Eastern medicine, as well as energy medicine that will help you to release physical and emotional blocks. It's time to create a truly magical life full of abundance, health, love, and happiness. Dr. Tony has the answers you have been waiting for.
Welcome to Multidimensional Health with Dr. Tony. Thank you for joining me today. The topic for today is self-sabotage. This is a very important topic for me because over the years, experience has shown me that one of the main reasons people do not manifest a goal, be it health, profession, or relationship related, is due to self-sabotage. So yes, self-sabotage is very important. And so during our time together, I will be exploring what self-sabotage is, why we partake in it, and how to fight back against destructive behaviors and form healthy habits instead, so that you can move forward into a happier, more fulfilling life. So let's get started. Behavior is said to be self-sabotaging when it creates problems and interferes with long-standing goals. The most common self-sabotaging behaviors are procrastination, self-medication with drugs or alcohol, comfort eating, and interpersonal conflict. While these acts may seem useful and comforting at the moment, they ultimately undermine us, especially when we engage in them repeatedly. And even if you are aware of your self-sabotaging behaviors, there's no guarantee that that in itself will be enough to disengage from this act. Still, it is possible to overcome almost any form of self-sabotage, and people do it every day, so you can do it too. The first step in correcting this is awareness. Unfortunately, most people are not aware that they are engaging in self-sabotage. Are you? Well, let's look at some of the signs. Can you relate to the following? You tend to focus on what's not working as opposed to what is. You tend to fear the future, worry a lot about what ifs and what might happen down the road. You feel like you have no value and find it challenging to recall accomplishments. You criticize yourself often and can't accept compliments. You compare yourself to others consistently and then feel bad for not measuring up. You chase away relationships. If you're in a relationship, you quickly find flaws and faults in the other person. You feel like you have no purpose in life. And finally, you blame others for the situation that you're in instead of taking responsibility for your life and your results. For some of us, these behaviors are way too familiar. And for others, they might seem a little bit of a reach. That is why up next, I'll talk about specific actions and symptoms of self-sabotage that lurk a bit further below the surface. Under the umbrella of self-sabotage is self-destruction. Self-destructive symptoms can arise all the time, and they are signs that we are trying to self-sabotage. Here are a few examples of these behaviors. Failing to take action. Have a negative, pessimistic, or self-defeating mindset. For example, I'm going to fail. I just know it. Overeating. Undereating. Force incompetence. Basically portraying yourself as unintelligent or incapable. Women are more likely to engage in this type of behavior than men. Bullying, if you're going out of your way to harm others or to push into others your opinions or try to control them to behave the way you feel they should. Self-harm, self-pity, drug and alcohol abuse, deliberately alienating yourself from others, refusing help, spending too much money, physical neglect, such as getting poor sleep, refusing to exercise, eating unhealthy foods, and failing to maintain basic hygiene are signs of this. And lastly, mental neglect, such as refusing, avoiding, or failing to confront psychological health issues such as anxiety, depression, OCD. We all go through ups and downs. But if you find yourself returning to patterns of binge drinking, overeating, undereating, self-harm, physical neglect, or any of the other items on the list, then it's likely that you find comfort in the harmful actions of self-sabotage. It sounds crazy, but it is true. We keep repeating the same actions because we're gaining something from it. And at this point, it seems like there's comfort in that behavior. There are a few main reasons that we participate in self-sabotaging behaviors. Perhaps the most common is a feeling of lack of self-worth. There are a million little factors that can contribute to our feelings of unworthiness, and it will take a dozen classes to cover them. But the concept of cognitive dissonance can help us understand more cumulatively. Cognitive dissonance refers to the tendency we have to seek consistency amongst our beliefs and opinions. Every time something does not make sense, like when we're hurt or surprised by an action, we feel discomfort, and our brain compensates by creating a new reality that eliminates the dissonance. You might be wondering, how does this play out in terms of self-sabotaging behavior? Well, here's an example. Let's say you don't like someone you work with, but one day they run out to get coffee and ask you if they can grab one for you too. It's their treat. After experiencing this exchange, you have two options moving forward. Number one, you change your opinion of them. Maybe they're actually kind of cool. They're not that bad. And number two, to justify your previous opinion of them. They must be after something. I don't trust that they will be this generous without an underlying agenda. Once you land on one of these options, your brain sticks to it. Your belief is either altered or strengthened based on what's just occurred. Processing new information makes our brains work harder and throws a wrench in the inner workings of everything. Therefore, our first instinct is to come to a conclusion and move on, even if that means making a judgment that is not factually correct. Here's another example of how cognitive dissonance and self-sabotage might play out in your romantic life. Let's say in one of your first romantic relationships, you were lied to, causing your brain to form the notion that romantic feelings are connected with hurt and distrust. As you progress forward through life and partake in various romantic relationships, you might have never truly gotten over this mistrust, even if your partner has never given you a reason not to trust them. You might start thinking to yourself, I trusted people once, and look where that got me. Hurt. I'm not falling for this again. Like in the previous example, your brain kept selecting option two. I don't trust it. Your brain likes it when you fall back into previous patterns because that's less cognitive work. It will be uncomfortable to learn new information, process it, then apply that new knowledge to all your memories and beliefs. And so it's easier to fall back into old ideas and prejudice. We like the control. It feels better to accept your own failure rather than face the possibility of failure taking you by surprise. At least when you're steering the ship, you know where it's going, even if that means driving it into an iceberg of self-sabotage. The higher up you rise, the further you have to fall. This fear of ultimately failing is another reason that we partake in self-sabotage. Our psyche is rooted in the perception that you're not deserving of the success you have gained so far. In return, you might partake in the self-sabotaging behavior such as doing the bare minimum, procrastinating, or diverting your attention in order to avoid this fear. Believe it or not, other reasons that we might turn to self-sabotaging behaviors are due to familiarity or boredom. We're creatures of habit. But sometimes this means that we chose consistently over our own happiness or contentment. If we're used to being or feeling overlooked, mistreated, or exploited, it can be strangely reassuring to put ourselves in that position over and over again. I know it sounds weird, but we do it all the time. We put ourselves in negative situations because we're familiar with them. We're addicted to the feelings that those situations have brought us. Even though we know that this role makes us unhappy, we still prefer them over the unknown. We might also turn to self-sabotage because we're bored. Sometimes creating drama or inciting conflict can give us a rush, and being in the middle of the chaos can feel comforting. The good news is that self-sabotage follows a predictable pattern, so we can change it. As I mentioned, self-sabotage follows a predictable pattern. Awareness of how it shows up in your life will help you recognize it when it does show up so that you can take action to nip it in the bud as soon as it shows up. The first step is to think back to previous times you self-sabotage in your life. Then figure out At what point you typically begin to indulge in self-sabotaging behaviors and uncover your triggers? For example, you had a crush on the waitress of your local coffee shop for months, and you always chat with her every time you go in to grab a latte. One day, she asks you on a date, but you freeze and come up with an excuse to get out of it. What happened? Somewhere in that exchange, you were triggered. Perhaps as soon as your romantic interest began showing interest back, your brain didn't understand how to comprehend that new information. If your reality up until now dictates that you aren't worthy of love, but suddenly you receive information that contradicts that reality, and your brain sends signals to fight against that cognitive dissonance or discomfort of a new unknown, then it brings you back to familiar thoughts and patterns. Perhaps this means that you detach and become uninterested, suddenly afraid, knowing that your relationship is moving forward and you could ultimately fail. Think of self-sabotage as a misdirected form of self-love. Your brain is moving you towards self-sabotaging behaviors because it thinks that it's protecting you from hurt and danger, when in reality, it's also holding you back from your full potential. Fear is an emotion most of us prefer to sweep under the rug instead of working to confront it head on. One step you can take to face your inner fears head on is to journal. Next time you realize that you might be partaking in a self-sabotaging behavior, such as procrastinating, delaying, or picking fights with loved ones, take a moment and ask yourself, what am I scared of? And why is it scary? Then ask yourself, if that worst case scenario happened, could I handle it? Finally, ask yourself, does this fear outweigh my desires? Once you're taking these steps and actually taking time to consider the situation head on, the fear inside of you loses a little bit of power over your psyche. You must repeat this activity as needed in order to train your brain to ease out of the old thought pattern slowly. It takes time, but it's totally worth it. So do it over and over again. Confronting our fears means facing discomfort. And sometimes the truth that we can uncover can be an ugly one. Let's take a look at a case study about a woman named Olga. She was always in fear of losing her partner, Jack. She told him all the time that she loved him and that she never wanted him to leave her. But at the same time, she kept picking fights and forgetting to keep her promises to him, like picking him up from work. In order to get to the bottom of this bizarre and seemingly contradictory behavior, Olga was prompted to contemplate the worst-case scenario, Jack leaving. She had never thought about this before because she was afraid to let her mind actually think it through. She was asked, "What will you do if he leaves?" And here's the response, "Well, I have to learn how to live for myself, I guess. I have to be independent, to be free." The fear that she'd been hiding wasn't that Jack secretly wanted to leave her. Instead, it was that she wanted to leave Jack. Once Olga came to this realization and took the time to process her thoughts instead of falling back on all habitual fears, she realized that her definition of a perfect wife meant someone who acted as an appendage to her husband, a role that she didn't want to play anymore. Subconsciously, because she didn't want to fulfill this role, she began doing things to sabotage her marriage, thus leading to the fear of its end. Once she realized the root of her fears and how they played themselves out in her actions towards Jack, she was able to move past her stereotypes of marriage and recognize that her role as a wife didn't have to match up with the ideas she had in her mind. She was free to forge her own course. Another thing you can do to stop self-sabotaging is to recommit to your new healthy goals every day. Setting small goals will make you feel more accomplished and in control of your life. This is a particularly helpful way to combat self-sabotaging actions because it fights feelings of low self-worth and keeps you motivated and moving forward into a positive direction. Don't be afraid to make lists. Perhaps take a moment to pick out a planner to write down your notes and thoughts. Start with small obligations such as doing the laundry, grocery shopping, or picking up dog food. The simple act of crossing something off your to-do list is fulfilling in its own weird little way. I promise you will feel better. Next, stop assuming things. Don't fall into the mental trap of harmful assumptions. It is easy to spiral out of control. It is natural to try to analyze and assess people and situations to make sense of our surroundings. The danger lies in allowing your imagination to wander too far, leading to worst-case scenarios which causes anxiety, frustration, and fear. And most of the time, these things you're assuming never even happen. So it's such a wasted emotion. Furthermore, the assumptions you make about the way people feel about you are often reflections of how you feel about yourself. After all, you're getting that harmful material from somewhere. Your own self-sabotaging behavior and thoughts. If you're feeling ignored, alone, or abused, and your first thought is, they treat me this way because blank, or they must think that I am blank, what you're actually doing is projecting your own feelings about yourself. If this behavior goes unchecked and you don't realize that you're making silly assumptions, you will actually trick your mind into making false judgments about other people. When you start assuming negative things, you attract negative thoughts. To fix this pattern, try and catch yourself, then distract yourself with something else that you enjoy. Another thing you can do is to do less, but do it better. Keep your day simple and meaningful. Don't let yourself get overwhelmed with things that aren't a priority to you. And don't waste your time on things that don't really matter. Learn how to say no and start getting used to delegating duties to people around you. Take time for yourself and do the things that you love and enjoy. Do you like cooking? Make sure to set some time aside to make yourself a nice meal once a week. Do you enjoy spending time with animals? Carve out an hour to visit or volunteer at an animal shelter this weekend. Doing things that you're passionate about will keep your stress levels down and allow you to focus more on your own goals and motivations. I find that having an accountability partner helps you stay on track. Surround yourself with people who are also doing their best to fight against habits of self-sabotage. If your goal is to start creating more healthy habits, but most of your friends don't have a problem sitting around every night eating takeout, find a buddy to go to the gym with. Then, if and when you do find yourself falling back into unhealthy habits of the past, you'll have someone to go for help and inspiration instead of falling backward. There will always be times when we realize that we need to let go of something painful, be it guilt or a toxic relationship. However, it is never easy to let go of something we have become accustomed to. So we get stuck in the middle of two realities, where we are and where we want to be. Fear of the unknown can hold us back, but we can choose not to let it in. As the quote from Milton Erickson says, life will bring you pain all by itself. Your responsibility is to create joy. One way to solve this problem is to accept more love into your life, which of course can be difficult if you feel that you're unworthy of love. But remember that if you're always putting yourself into destructing, self-sabotaging situations, you aren't allowing yourself to expand your worth and reach your full potential. Since you can't control the love you receive from other people, the best place to start is with self-love. Here are a few ways that you can practice self-love. Once a week, cook your favorite meal for yourself and don't worry about the calories. Buy yourself some flowers. I love doing this. Every week I go to the grocery store and buy myself some flowers, and it makes my house so wonderful. And I love seeing the flowers while I'm working. Sing loudly to your favorite song. Treat yourself to a concert, play, art museum, or musical performance. Join a walking group or sign up for a class. Take a hike and pack your favorite snacks for a picnic in nature. Write down some of your favorite quotes or mantras and post them around your house. Plan a potluck with your friends. Make some sort of art or create a DIY project. Also, praise yourself rather than waiting for others to do it for you. When you do something you're proud of, dwell on it a little bit. Relish the experience. It is not narcissistic. It is an act of self-care. If you confronted your boss and finally asked for that promotion, give yourself props. That took guts. Being aware of your accomplishments will boost your mood and make you more self-sufficient. If we're waiting for people around us to congratulate us on our self-worth and self-esteem, we've given away a key to our own happiness because the thoughts, opinions, and beliefs of others are outside of our control. And they change daily anyways. Listen to your body. One of the best ways that we can practice self-care and break up with self-sabotage is to take care of our physical body. If you're constantly feeling tired, herbal supplements are a great thing to take to help you take care of yourself. Do some research on the internet to see what you like, or go to my website at www.thisanddavidrsandrosetonywithanicamacho.com. If you're feeling burned out, pass on that Red Bull that the office supplies to you and cut out caffeine after 3 o'clock. If you're overweight, reassess your diet and physical activity level. If you have chronic pain, look into possible remedies like yoga, acupuncture, or dietary changes. If we ignore our aches and pains, we're not putting ourselves first, and we're not showing our bodies the self-respect that it deserves. Another thing you could do to stop self-sabotaging is to focus on the positives. Shifting years of negative self-talk to positive self-talk is a lot easier said than done, and requires you to reprogram your entire mind. But I know you can do it. Even if you think that you're not critical of yourself, you might be surprised. Most of the time, we're unaware of the unconscious dialogue that goes in our minds. Here are some tricks you can use to boost positive self-talk. Practice positive affirmations. I deserve to be happy. Everything happens for a reason. I trust my intuition. And I'm worthy of love. All of those are excellent places to start. Repeat these phrases to yourself when you sense yourself spiraling out of control. Think of failures as new opportunities. Sometimes things that seem negative at an onset can actually lead to really awesome things. Sit up straight. Slouching is an easy way to make yourself feel crummy, lazy, and lethargic. Sitting up straight will make you feel more useful, awake, and thoughtful. Avoid negative people. If your cubicle neighbor is always complaining, bring a pair of headphones and listen to some podcasts instead. If you have a friend who always sees the glass half empty, try spending more time with people who are willing to join you on your journey to a more positive outlook of life. Look at the big picture. You got a parking ticket? That's a bummer. But will it matter in a week, a month, a year? Try not to waste precious mental power on things that are out of your control and that they won't matter in the long run anyways. Learn to forgive yourself for past actions and cut yourself a break. When negative thoughts come creeping into your mind, stop them on their tracks and counteract them with positive thoughts. Talk to yourself and defend yourself the way you would protect your friend, parent, or sibling. If you start spiraling, interrupt the negativity. This might literally mean walking out to a mirror and giving yourself a pep talk. And that's okay. Try this. Hey, stop that. You know that all that negativity isn't helping anyone here, and we can't afford to put ourselves down right now because you got too much going for us. We've been here before, and we know that this behavior isn't healthy. Saying this to yourself might sound silly, but guess what? It's helpful. Sometimes all you need to hear is the right words, and if they're coming out of your own mouth, that's even better. Well, that's all for today. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join me today. I hope you're able to walk away with some insight on how your mind works, as well as some tactics on how to overcome the self-sabotaging habits and behaviors that have a way of presenting themselves every once in a while. And I will leave you with this final thought. Every day, make a conscious effort to be resilient and move forward with your life no matter what hurdles come your way. You are strong, you are intelligent, and you are capable of overcoming the negative thought patterns that your mind has gotten into the habit of building. Remember, I'm always here to help. If you have any questions regarding self-sabotage, email me at contacttony@drtonycamacho.com. And I'll see you next week.
Thank you for tuning into Multidimensional Health Show. For more information or to schedule a private consultation, go to www.drtonycamacho.com. Have a great week.